On this episode of the show, we're chatting with a very special guest, Mr. John Lawler, the general manager at Royal Port Rush. I had the incredible opportunity to go and watch the Open Championship from Royal Port Rush in 2019. I took my 7-year-old son, who that was the first golf tournament he'd ever been to. So talk about being spoiled on your first time. But what an incredible, incredible property there in Northern Ireland. I don't think it's a stretch to say that this was the most beautiful golf course that my eyes have ever beheld. There's a few really good ones in Northern Ireland, including Royal County Down. I have yet to go there, and maybe that will change my opinion. So for now, at least, Royal Port Rush is up at the top, and I've visited golf clubs on every continent at this point. It is something truly, truly special, and it was so amazing to watch that tournament. I got lucky because I chose to go watch it on Saturday, and that was the best day of weather for the tournament. It was rainy and cold other days. Northern Ireland, if you've never been, is one of these places where you could get all four seasons in one single day, but I got so lucky. It was like 75 degrees, absolutely perfect to watch the Open Championship. And of course, an Irishman winning that tournament was a very special treat as well. So I'm so excited to have Mr. Lawler on the show here to talk about the property and the fact that there's not only the championship course that you see on television, but there's also a couple of other hidden gems on that property, as well as the surrounding town. So we're going to give you a full picture of what there is to do in Royal Port Rush and around Royal Port Rush, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Now, if you haven't already, please do check out our YouTube channel where we travel to some of the most incredible golf destinations all over the world. Let's Play Through is the name of our channel on YouTube, and it's very simple. You go to youtube.com/letsplaythrough. I will throw that link in the show notes, but we'd love it if you subscribed and followed us along as we check out some of these incredible properties. But without further ado, here we go with the interview. John, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Gabe. It's really good to talk to you.
Now, first of all, you stepped into some pretty big shoes. You joined the club as manager, or is it secretary or manager there in Ireland?
Yeah, we have lots of different titles in this business. General manager is my title, but there are secretary managers. Right. So I don't really mind what I'm called.
Big shoes to fill, though. You took the place of someone who had been there for 30 years, the previous general manager. What was that like coming to like a world-class facility?
I suppose... So Will Merskin was the I think managing secretary or secretary manager was the title for over 30 years and had been involved in the club in many ways. And obviously the club had moved from where it was, which was probably reasonably well known, to where it is now, front and center on the global golfing calendar. So excitement was the overriding emotion. You know, the opportunity from my perspective, I started in this business straight out of college at a university in my very early 20s and started in a role as management trainee, where basically I was exposed to all the different elements of the golf business. So to get that journey, and I've worked in the industry all the way through to get to this level, as part of, I'm not going to say it was an incredibly well laid out plan that got me to where I am over the course of 20 years, but there was a plan of sorts, and certainly my own personal ambition was always about trying to work at the highest level, and it doesn't come an awful lot higher than Royal Port Rush Golf Club. So yeah, incredibly excited and privileged to be part of such a club with such a phenomenal history. And obviously the work that happened since the club was founded all the way through the 130 plus years of the club's history, huge amount of people put in a huge amount of work, including my predecessor, Wilma, obviously, who put in a huge amount of work leading up to the Open Championship especially. So I'm excited and honored to be in a position to take that on and to continue to keep Royal Port Rush at the forefront of everything that happens in golf.
Let's talk more about that. So how did Royal Port Rush really burst onto the scene, in your opinion, or what sets it apart that makes it such a world-class property?
So I think everything in this world goes back to the golf course. You know, everything else is ancillary to it, the service standard, the clubhouse, all this, everything goes back to the golf course. And the design of the golf course is such, it's memorable, as you saw it yourself, Gabe, and hundreds of millions of people, it's nice to be able to say that, saw it on the television during the Open Championship in 2019. It's a unique piece of land. It's a very dramatic piece of land, I would describe it as. There's huge amounts of movement in the earth, really interesting shapes. And then it all leads you to this just quite exquisite view when you reach the fifth green and you're looking out to sea, and in the distance you can see the Giant's Causeway, you can see the White Rocks, you can see Dunluce Castle. It's from a scenery point of view, it's breathtaking, slightly overwhelming. So I think as a piece of land, it's just such an interesting golf course to play. It's a really interesting challenge as well. Better golfers will see the nuances in the design, you know, shapes off tees, green surrounds, and all the things that make Lynx Golf such a fun and interesting experience, that, you know, it doesn't take a lot for a reasonably good drive to go horribly wrong or incredibly well. It's one bounce from you know, jungle rough to beautiful fairway. So I think all of those things lend itself to the experience. And then on top of that, obviously, there's and something I must say I've noticed since my first time here is the sense of welcome and a really genuine, relaxed, you know, it's not a stuffy club. It's a club that respects its traditions and history, but it's a really, really welcoming club for everybody who comes. So I think all of those things help make up the overall experience. Golf course is really important, but it can't just stand alone. It has to be supported by all those other elements that make the experience memorable, and obviously the golf course at the center of it. So I think that would be, as I said, the piece of land it's people would have seen on the telly. It's just stunning. And anytime I go out and play or even walk it, it's I still stop. I still most days stop and take a photo at the back of the fifth green. And sometimes I send it to my friends to make them jealous that this is where I work. you know, they're sitting in an office somewhere in the city center and this is where I work. So I'm very fortunate.
John, what's your low round out there, out of curiosity?
Oh, there is no low round. It gets to the point where I stop counting. I haven't.
Punishing as it is beautiful, it looks like.
It is. It really, really is. And as I said, it doesn't take a lot for it to go wrong. But a really interesting test, a really interesting challenge.
Yeah. How has the golf course evolved or changed over the years? Have holes been moved around or have things been added?
Yeah, so I think like all golf courses that have a long history, like the Dunluce course, which we're speaking about, lots of subtle changes over the years based on small little things that can be things like tee positions and green sites. But I suppose some of the bigger work took place in preparation for the Open Championship. There was two new holes added, the existing seventh and eighth holes, par five and a par four, which used up some of the holes that were on our other course, the Valley course, which we might talk about later. And Mark Niebert, Mackenzie Niebert, golf course architects, did the work behind them. And I think the thing that stands out is that somebody who hasn't visited the golf course, if you ask them to point out the two new holes, I don't think they're going to be able to. They used a lot of modern technology around design in terms of things like marram slabbing, where you're moving slabs of this beautiful marram turf in big squares and placing it on dunes to create the dunescape. So the two holes fit in incredibly well, were well received during the Open Championship. Our members liked them, and they fit right in with everything. So they would probably be some of the more significant in recent history, some of the more significant changes. But I think like all golf courses, it develops. And even just, you know, sometimes fairway lines or green lines from day-to-day cutting, little bits and pieces, there's always minor and very small tweaks around those sorts of things. So, but it stood up really well. And the new holes especially stood up really well to the world's best golfers.
What has had the Open done for Royal Port Rush? And even leading up to it, I think it had an impact before the tournament was even put on. But following that, what has been the impact for you guys?
I think a key thing is name recognition. I think people in the know, and people like yourself, Gabe, who know golf, would probably have heard of Royal Port Rush and known bits about it. I think what the likes of the Open Championship does is that it creates that awareness around the non-purist golfer, if we could call them that, the people who play casually and socially and who know of places but maybe don't know a lot. So when suddenly your golf course appears on all the major TV networks, and they shoot things so beautifully, they make everything look gorgeous, and it did. I think that creates a huge awareness about your course, and also, in fact, it creates an interest in coming to play it, because people love to stand on a tee that Dustin Johnson or Rory McIlroy stood on and try and recreate the shot they saw on television. So I think that was a huge thing for us. There has always been, or rather in the last 10, 15 years, there's been an increasing demand from people to come from overseas to play and to visit Royal Portrush as part of maybe that links suite that would take in Royal County Down, take in some of our neighbouring courses here, Port Stewart and Castle Rock. And Ballyliffin, and then obviously down towards Dublin and Portmarnock and out beyond. So people have always wanted to do that. But I suppose what we noticed after the Open was that obviously the level of that demand had increased. We only have a certain capacity, so that presents its own challenge, a nice challenge nonetheless, but it does. And probably that the range of interest, it was always North America focused. It maybe spread a bit wider than that. Around the rest of the world for golfing people around the rest of the world. So a fairly strong level of demand was increased even higher by hosting the Open Championship. So it's a wonderful thing for the club. A lot of people put in a lot of hard work to get the event to come here and to host it so successfully. And the membership as a whole played such a huge part in that I think it's a nice reward for all that hard work.
Absolutely. Now you alluded to it, the other course. There's actually a second course there at Royal Portrush that folks don't even know about many times. It's called the Valley. Let's talk a little bit about why when you come to Portrush, it's actually there's a potential to play two world-class courses there.
Yeah, so the Valley is on the same site, obviously, and it's linked to when you're playing on the seventh green in Dunluce, you're looking straight down onto the Valley. And the name suggests there's quite a large central park that's in kind of a valley, so it fits in with that. It's quite a historic piece of land as well, going back to ancient Irish history. What's really interesting about it is that it's I think golfers always like to discover the next course, you know, the hidden gem under the radar, those sorts of terms. It really is that. The beauty of it is that you're getting access to a course that has been presented and prepared and managed effectively in a similar way to the Dunluce Links. You know, our course manager, Graham Beat, and his team, they're overseeing both golf courses. So the quality of the inputs into them is very similar. So the presentation standards are fantastic. It would be a different test from Dunluce in the sense that it wouldn't have the same amount of dramatic level changes. And for some people, that can make it a slightly, it's still an incredibly interesting challenge, but maybe the fear when you stand on the tee maybe isn't there to the same extent on some of the holes in the Dunluce. So really wonderful, wonderful course, pure links again. And it's on the same piece of land. So from our point of view, with such a nice community around here, Portrush and Port Stewart towns, there's so many other things to do that the idea of actually playing two rounds either on the same day or splitting them with an overnight stay is a real possibility. I should also mention, Gabe, we actually also have another golf course.
I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's called the Scaries. It's a little six-hole pitch and putt course. And it's, again, on the same piece of land. It's I think it's beautiful. It's got little holes 80, 90 yards long. Some of our very, very young juniors have gone out and played that. Moms and dads would bring the little ones out to play on it, and it's a lovely connection with the community. It's public, it's pay and play for people who want to come down and pay a few pounds to go out and play it. So again, it's got fabulous views out over the East Strand at Portrush, and a gorgeous piece of land. So 2.5 golf courses, maybe we would call it, rather than three, but really nice. Really nice.
I love the vibe there, having been to the country a couple of times now, and for folks who have never been. What makes golf in Northern Ireland so interesting is that these clubs are really part of the fabric of the community. They were started as community golf courses, and they're really like woven into the town. Even I was at Port Stewart, and it's right in the middle of town. It seems like why is that? Why does that make that a little bit special? Why does it make a trip like that a little bit different in your opinion, John?
Yeah, it's something I'm from Dublin originally, and it's something you would have seen to a certain extent as well down there. I think a lot of golf back in the very early days was always back to the train, and people took the train, and therefore the golf courses and the seaside towns were close to train stations, so people could get off and walk and play their golf and get the train home. But the benefit, I can leave my office and walk into Portrush in 10, 15 minutes, and a lot of, I suppose, the modern courses or some of the parkland courses can be slightly isolated or out in beautiful forest land or out in other beautiful farmland. And I think the connection with the community is really important. Very simple things like you see people walking down the main street of Portrush with their golf clubs on their back or a trolley, and then on the other side of the street with a surfboard. So it makes for a really interesting dynamic. And also simple little things like a lot of our staff would live in Portrush and can walk to work. And it just makes us feel part of the community. And as I mentioned, that the Scaries course would be one that would be played a lot by some of the local kids who, again, would walk down the street with their clubs in their hand and go out and play. So I just think it's nice. It becomes less of this, less of an effort, if I could put it that way, to get in the car and drive and 20, 30, 40 minutes to get to the course. Some of our members obviously live a distance away and they have to, but I just think it's nice. That sight, as I said, of someone walking out the front gate with a trolley or a golf clubs in their back, I don't think you see that in a lot of places, because often courses are out on land that's well removed from a city or well removed from a town. So I think that it creates a lovely kind of the optics of it are really, really nice.
Well said. Well said. There's just a vibe there that is very special, I can attest. And you guys did just an incredible job. You talked a little bit about hospitality, but the hospitality of the Irish folks, incredible. The way the tournament was run was so impressive, and how, you know, I got off my train and literally there was someone there directing me where to go and ask, hey, if you have a question, ask me, you know. And it's just an incredible feeling, and I'm sure that happens not only for the Open Championship but all year round there. Let's talk about a couple of the other things to do around the club. So if you're coming to play, and maybe you'll even play 2.5 rounds at Royal Portrush. And by the way, I don't like to always get beat up on a golf course. I like the chance to break 80. So I think the Valley and the Scary sounds like a nice little change for a trip. But let's say I come there, I play a couple of rounds of golf, and what else am I going to experience around the club there?
Well, I suppose what we do best is all around the social. I think it comes very naturally to us. By nature, I think we're curious. I think we like to talk. We like to chat, as we would say ourselves. So therefore, that lends itself back to the whole hospitality side of things, the bars and the restaurants. And down in the town of Portrush, there's a famous, the Harbour Bar is well known by everybody. And that tends to be where everybody gravitates down towards. A fabulous, I must say, having, as I said, come from Dublin, there's an incredible array of restaurants to choose from in Portrush as a town. The size of town and the number of restaurants, it wouldn't be normally that sort of balance, but there is. And I think it's a bit of a destination town as well. There's a lot of people would use it as a place to come for their holidays, even from within the wider community. So there's a lovely energy about it, especially in the summer. A lot of people here on leisure. And let's face it, when you're on your holidays, you're typically in better form anyway. So lots of people in good form around the town. And then obviously from a sightseeing point of view, that probably it's considered an area of outstanding natural beauty. And anybody who's been to it, I think, will attest to that some of the drives along the coast. And it's best to be the passenger because it can be distracting if you're driving and trying to look out to sea. So that's where some of the coach travel is very handy. And the Giant's Causeway obviously is probably the centerpiece of it all. If you've never seen the Giant's Causeway, you can't quite picture what it is. And it's one of the maybe two or three things I've ever seen in my life that was better in reality than any of the beautiful pictures I'd seen.
I 100% agree with that. I had like people kept telling me about it, and I'd seen pictures of it, and I was like, it looks interesting, but not that amazing. But when you're there, oh my goodness. It's like, it's literally like a giant bridge, because there's a tale about it, right? There's a tale about a giant who was building a bridge to his lover on a different island. Is it like to Scotland or something?
It was supposed to be to Scotland, and there's the tale of the big giant from Scotland coming over, and it's really actually I was told it by my 10-year-old nephew, because he had learned it in school, and nice. I hadn't. It had been so long since I heard it, but I find when I go down to it, I would go reasonably frequently, because if we have visitors who come up to see us or friends, we would bring them around and show them it. But you just find yourself looking at it. You don't have to do anything. You just kind of breathe it in, and sometimes the sea is mountainous around it. And I used the word dramatic earlier. It's a very dramatic experience and just very impressive. So the Giant's Causeway obviously is wonderful. Then you have the likes of the Bushmills Distillery, which is really interesting. Again, 3-4 miles from ourselves here. But having moved here in the last 14 or so months, my wife and I sometimes will just go for a drive, and we'll just ramble around, as we would say, and you stop and you look at a view, and then you drive on a bit and you stop and look at another view, and it's thoroughly satisfying, and it gives everybody a chance in a very busy world to stop and just take a pause and enjoy something as simple as nature.
It's such a wonderful place in the world. Absolutely. I 100% agree with that. John, one last parting shot for you. You mentioned the fifth hole, but let's what's the hidden gem there at Port Rush that folks often overlook?
Fifth hole obviously gets a lot of the credit. I think the new eighth hole, which was designed back in 2014, I think was the date. It's an incredibly interesting shortish par four. A lovely shape off the tee. It favors a right to left. There's bunkers in the landing area. It's a narrow enough landing area. The further you go, the narrower it gets. So it's one of these holes where you decide, am I going to try and smash it out there, take a chance, or am I going to lay up and leave myself a second shot? And then the green is this thing of beauty. It's perched. It's got on the left, a fierce drop off to the left-hand side. So if you miss left, you're in all sorts of trouble. But then if you try and bail out right, it has a bunker and lovely levels on the green. So I think the eighth is a really interesting hole, right in the middle of the round as well. And you're up at a level that you're looking out again over the sea. So it takes in that beautiful view as well. So I think the eighth is a hole that people who haven't played the course in a long time, it'll be a new hole to them because it was only built relatively recently. But I think it's a fabulous design, a really interesting hole.
I hope I get to play it someday. John, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I know you're a busy man. I'll let you get back to the duties there. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, Gabe. Really nice to speak with you.
So fingers crossed, but I'm hoping I can get out there in August. I need to speak in England for the Club Managers Association of Europe. That's happening in September. I believe it's September 9th. We're going to do it from Villa Park, where Aston Villa play their soccer matches. That's going to be pretty cool. But before I get there, I'm hoping I can get to Northern Ireland and definitely want to go to Royal Port Rush and play this time. If you're ever in the country, you've got to do it. I'm going to leave some links to some wonderful tour operators down below so that you can book your next trip for you and your golf club members or your friends, pals, family. Put it on your list. Just take my advice. I'll catch you back here next week on another edition of Let's Play Through. Be well and hit them straight.